T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Glad that you're hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 8:40. Then we will have Cubs Giants. It's going to be a lot of fun. Patrick Mooney does a really good job of covering the Cubs for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at PJ_Mooney. I wanted to talk to him even before I read the piece about John Lester. He wrote a piece today about John Lester and him possibly being the greatest free agent in Chicago history. And the case that he laid out was pretty good. So I wanted to have Patrick on the show and discuss things with him. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for having me on. How you been?
I've been doing really well, man. I'm glad that you wrote the Lester piece, because I wanted to, it's so funny, I wanted to spend a lot of time talking with you about Lester's season, but you put it in a totally different context in the piece for The Athletic today. What made you decide to look at it in the macro of John Lester and his free agency deal versus all the free agency deals in every sport in Chicago?
You know, I've been kind of kicking around the idea kind of at the end of last year, going into spring training here, knowing it was going to be the second half of a mega deal that's already kind of paid for itself. And, you know, I didn't grow up in Chicago. I wasn't like a Chicago sports fan. So I just kind of, you know, asked, you know, some media colleagues who you know as well. I kind of threw it out there on our Slack channel, on The Athletic. I think the stunning part is how there really aren't like a ton of great ones that leap off the page. And then you kind of, you know, there's obviously, you know, Jordan, you know, if you want to go through the whole Mount Rushmore, there's obviously fantastic athletes, Hall of Famers, you know, legendary personalities. But in terms of that free agent as kind of a finishing piece that really kind of lasts and you're going to remember, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, it was kind of like, to me, it was Hossa as kind of 1A and John Lester. I mean, Jermaine Dye obviously had a, you know, great first year with the White Sox. But I think in terms of just the size of the contract, the magnitude of what the Cubs were trying to do, the amount of pressure that he kind of put on his own shoulders, I don't think anything kind of surpasses that.
Hossa's probably the best comp. As I was reading, I was going, mm-hmm. Yeah, the only problem is the length of NHL deals. And obviously he didn't finish the length of that ridiculous contract. But I felt like when he signed with the Blackhawks, it was a sea change in the way the organization was viewed from the outside. And I think that Lester, you can give Lester some credit on that too, because there were people wondering at the time, and I remember because I was one of them, going, that's an interesting move at this point in the process, and yet it's worked out splendidly.
Yeah, and no doubt, you know, there are people in the comment section, you know, of that story, and like, I'm not trying to trash Hossa in any way. I mean, he's a terrific player, an absolute winner, you know, the perfect guy at the perfect time. But I believe the Blackhawks at that point were coming off a trip to the conference finals. Kane and Taves, while still really young, were pretty much established, legitimate difference makers in the NHL, whereas Lester's coming up to Cubs team where I think Bryant, Schwarber, Russell, Almora haven't even made their big league debuts yet. Javi had maybe like a cup of coffee in 2014 and struck out whatever, like 100 times, you know, something like that. Or whatever, 80 times in like 40 games, something absurd. And, you know, the Cubs really needed this big time. What they were doing, you know, everyone in Major League Baseball, every other team kind of starts tanking now. But what the Cubs were doing for a big market team was really unprecedented for a team like that to just say, we're just not going to try to win at the big league level for years. And they needed someone kind of with the credibility, the same way as Hossa, to kind of change the culture, give them some stability. And I think what the Cubs did, I'm not trying to be a Cubs homer, but it's just that, you know, the Cubs are this worldwide phenomenon where we've seen a lot of big-time free agents come and kind of wilt underneath that pressure. And John Lester had his bumps here and there, but he, you know, certainly didn't fold.
Talking with Patrick Mooney of The Athletic, senior writer over there at The Athletic, the name of the piece is John Lester is the greatest free agent signing in Chicago sports history. I highly recommend you check it out and see if you agree with the case that Patrick has laid before your feet. Let's talk about Lester this year. Why does he think he's having the type of season that he's having?
I think, number one, physically, he just feels different than he did last year. I think last year, the World Series hangover, the accumulation of all those innings, the stressful postseason runs really just caught up to him, and he just could not repeat elements of his delivery. He didn't have that same feel for his pitches, just overall wasn't sharp. And obviously he turned it on at the end. You know, he's got kind of the demeanor to deliver in big games, and we saw that last October. But I think kind of comes from that baseline of being recharged, refreshed. He's definitely, I'm not sure the exact, year where he kind of flipped, but when he first came to Chicago, he was not really into the elaborate, sophisticated game planning system that the Cubs put together that, Kyle Hendricks, that really helped transform Kyle Hendricks and his game. And as he got older and lost a little bit off his fastball and realized he couldn't get away with the same stuff, he did start to absorb some of those concepts in terms of sequencing and kind of going out of order and maybe surprising hitters or using different types of pitches in different counts. So he just kind of, he's used that. And then I think also just, he's got an awesome defense behind him. And when you have kind of the know-how and the composure and you're willing to let these guys make plays behind you, all of a sudden you have numbers that, if you look at it from a strictly kind of analytical sense, he's probably outperforming, his peripherals and things like that. But I think there's all the elements where he is, at this point, the only sure thing in their rotation, which is kind of crazy to think about for a team that's 15 games over 500.
Patrick, when you have those other guys who were in that clubhouse, David Ross was there, John Lackey was there. Now that they're gone, has Lester taken on a bigger role, or is it just that those guys are gone that we can look and go, oh, well, there's a KG veteran. He must be leading this team.
That's a good question. I think it was probably time for Lester to maybe get outside that comfort zone, and I don't think he'll ever be the kind of stand in the middle of the room and give like a rah-rah speech or anything like that. But I mean, from the moment he got there, he was all about just kind of setting a tone in terms of his professionalism and his accountability with the media. And I think just viewing it as his responsibility to take the ball every fifth day. And, it's really hard to find those guys who are able to year after year after year make 30 plus starts and pitch around 200 innings. And when you have a staple like that that you can kind of plan around, I think it just puts the entire team in a much better frame of mind.
Why have they been such a good team over the last 2 weeks?
I think what you've seen is kind of how this team has been built really now for years, just in terms of the depth, the flexibility, the versatility, where you can withstand an MVP type player in Chris Bryant going down. Rizzo has not had the exact year, he probably would have liked. Yu Darvish has one win and close to a 5 ERA and only 40 innings pitched, but this team was constructed in a way where they could withstand things like that. And you see young guys who are kind of hitting their prime. I mean, Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras, certainly deserving all-stars who have, you know, more than pulled their weight and are starting to kind of – Javi certainly has taken that step towards the next level, whereas Wilson, I think you can look at and reasonably say there is probably more in there for the second half. But this is kind of the, you know, almost fully matured team that, you know, Theo Jed, you know, had been talking about really from the time they got here. This is kind of like the vision.
Yeah, you're seeing these. I'm amazed, honestly, to tell you the truth, Patrick, that without the MVP, you know, think about that. You take an MVP off of this team and you're seeing guys blossom offensively and be able to absorb that when you have a pitching staff that outside of Lester really hasn't done the job.
Yeah, and their bullpen, obviously Morrow has been really good, and I mean, Carl Edwards is another injury that they've been able to withstand. But, you know, Madden in spring training always talks up guys. You know, that's kind of part of the job, and you're always optimistic, you know, when you're in Arizona there and it's, you know, 80 degrees and sunny every single day. But he kept talking about how, you know, I like this extra layer of pitchers, you know, that we've got, you know, down at the AAA level. And, I mean, Joe was right. I mean, they've gotten, significant contributions from like 5, 6, you know, maybe even 7 relievers who, like, even a pretty dedicated Cubs fan would have, like, no idea who they were in March or early April. But they've really been able to roll out just kind of lines of relievers. Like, you know, I'm picturing, like, you know, hockey players jumping over the boards. Like, just these this AAA Iowa shuttle that they've built is really interesting, and it's really, you know, paid dividends already. And I think it's going to be a big factor in the second half.
What did it mean for Baez and Contreras to make the All-Star team?
Well, Cubs Productions, you know, they have unbelievable access, and they have, you know, a lot of really talented people behind the scenes there. And they had, you know, Wilson Contreras talked about how, you know, my reaction, I was just speechless. I just went down to the cage and started crying. And I was like, oh, that's a really good quote. And I go upstairs to my laptop in the press box, and I see they have actual video of Wilson, you know, walking into the Wrigley batting cage with his arms raised and then kind of taking a moment and sitting down and, you know, breaking down emotionally and crying. Just an unbelievable visual for a guy who, you know, really did, you know, fight his way to the big leagues. You know, he was not a hotshot prospect. He was an infielder for a while. He was converted to catcher. He was left exposed in the Rule 5 draft. He was someone who really had to learn how to play under control and channel, you know, his unbelievable, you know, energy and intensity. And he did find a way to do that. And to his credit, he's always been, from the time he's been in the big leagues, he's been a really good, diligent student. He found ways to coexist with David Ross and Miguel Montero, learned how to ask the right questions and fit right in on a team with, you know, enormous pressure in 2016. So well-deserved. And then, yeah, Javi, you know, we've all seen it for years now of, like, what if he could, you know, do X, Y, and Z because the instincts are so good, because his athleticism and range is so unbelievable. And it's certainly, you know, come together in a way that he had to be in the All-Star game. I mean, it's supposed to be about stars, and right now there's no one kind of hotter than Javi when it comes to people wanting to wear number 9 and kind of how do I slide like that and things like that. And to me, you know, it's a marquee event. You know, baseball wants to, you know, kind of show its best qualities. I think Javi had to be there in D.C. In the middle of July.
Talking with Patrick Mooney. You can follow him on Twitter at @PJ_Mooney. He's a senior writer for The Athletic. He covers the Cubs. All of the baseball guests I've had on for the last week, I've been asking him a couple of questions that are the same. because I like to get opinions from around baseball on this. So I will ask you these same questions. What do you think the Brewers are going to do before the trade deadline?
A blockbuster deal. I would be surprised if they don't do something that, you know, a jaw-dropping type move where Cubs fans are looking at their phone when they see Ken Rosenthal break the news on Twitter, like, what just happened? I think they were very close to getting Jose Quintana last year, or at least they had done a very significant amount of background work and back and forth with the White Sox to where they thought they had a really good shot before the Cubs swooped in. I still don't understand why they didn't go all in for Jake Arrieta. I thought that made a lot of sense for them as an anchor for their pitching staff, because I still don't quite see it with this rotation to kind of make it all the way to the finish line and then into October. But, yeah, I mean, when you're a team like that in that market, which does have a really good tailgating fan base that comes out and likes their Brewers, I think you gotta give them something. And, you know, they made that move for CC Sabathia a while ago, and I think they definitely have, you know, the group of position players. They got some nasty relievers, and, you know, I think they should feel like they're only one piece away to really do some damage in the playoffs.
What do you think the Cubs do at the trade deadline?
I think the Cubs reinforce their pitching staff probably with, a pretty good reliever and maybe a swing type guy who could be a spot starter, pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen. It's just hard to see how this rotation keeps functioning, but I do believe Theo when he says, you know, we've got some time to kind of assess where they're at, and if they do get, you know, a nod from Darvish or start getting good reports on how he's feeling, you know, that could change their calculus. But, you know, they don't have really any A-list prospects to do that kind of, you know, blockbuster deal that, you know, has everyone buzzing. But I don't think they necessarily need it. I do think they need more kind of inventory in terms of pitching. And you know how Theo and Jed operated. We've seen it for years. They always, you know, do something, particularly when the team has this much kind of chemistry, all these good vibes going. They've got, you know, a lot of elite talent, you know, that's coming together and reaching an next level. They know they have an obligation to kind of supplement and reinforce that.
What's wrong with Kyle Hendricks?
That's a good question. Joe Maddon was asked that yesterday, and he insisted, when you have a good player like that, his only question is he healthy? The answer is yes. And to me, I'm not really worried. If I'm a Cubs fan or a Cubs official or a Cubs player, I'm not worried about Kyle Hendricks. I think it's just a matter of he's someone who is so reliant on feel and doesn't have a huge margin of error to work with to begin with. So when just kind of one or two things are a little bit off, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he can jump from, you know, a number one or two starter to all of a sudden looking like a number five starter. But he's got the, you know, IQ, the competitiveness, the experience, you know, everything you'd want or expect to think that he will figure it out here sooner rather than later.
Patrick, thanks so much for the time. I truly appreciate it. The piece today on John Lester and whether he's the best free agent in Chicago history, I think is fantastic. I love my subscription to The Athletic, and I think other people should get it too. So thanks for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Lawrence. Really appreciate it. Anytime, buddy.
That's Patrick Mooney. Follow him on Twitter, @PJ_Mooney. Some good stuff there. Read the column. And look, I don't work for The Athletic. They don't pay me. But I love their site, and I love what they're doing. And if you love good content, you should subscribe, man. It's not a lot of money, and you get incredible access to some great sports journalism, some really fantastic writing that they do over there. And I for one, will support that. This hour being brought to you by Grandview Homes. Grandview will buy your home today. Go to grandviewhomes.com. And let me say this. I haven't talked enough about Northwestern football. The Wildcats are back, baby. Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll give you some numbers on tonight's game for Cubs-Giants. And there's some people that want to clap back at Hockey Dad. I'm going to share some of those text messages with you next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. David in Decatur has been waiting a long time. He wants to jump back in on our NHL topic. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm good, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to tell you, it's actually kind of a simple marketing thing, how the NHL could fix their problem. And you can look at probably the two biggest leagues out there that do great job marketing in the NBA and the NFL. And I think the key is people who don't watch those sports still recognize some people. I'll use Peyton Manning as an example. He's not flashy. He doesn't run his mouth. But he partnered with Papa John's and, you know, the United Way, and he's all over the place. So people like my wife, who doesn't watch the NFL, would know who Peyton Manning is as he walks down the road. Same way with the NBA and Steph Curry. I don't think Steph Curry is driving a Kia. There's no way he's driving a Kia. But because Kia is the official car of the NBA, they're going to highlight him in every Kia commercial that's out there. And that's what these leagues do. UFC has done a great job with Boost Mobile as well. And Ronda Rousey, who hasn't fought on a non-pay-per-view fight in over 8 years, but I guarantee you she could not walk down the street of Chicago and not be recognized by a ton of people who've never gotten an MMA pay-per-view ever. But you can't tell me a single sponsor that the NHL has as a league that's a big enough national brand that you could take a non-flashy athlete who all sports, you know, the major sports like to promote the wholesome people. So there's a lot of those guys in the NHL who are humble. If you, as the NHL, found a major sponsor and had that major sponsor promote that person and have their face all over, people are going to gravitate more toward that person.
But, David, that's a big part of the problem. The part that I didn't play was Emily talking about how when NHL guys are approached by advertisers, by marketing people, their response is, how does this help the team? They don't want to be the center of attention for whatever reason. And she said it's happened to her on multiple occasions where people around the league have told her that you may go to an NHL guy with an advertising opportunity and they don't want it unless it's going to spotlight the entire team. And who's got the budget for that? Who's got the budget? And usually the Kia commercials are LeBron. That's the guy that you don't believe drives it. I actually do believe, and I don't know if Steph in a Kia commercial? I thought he's in another car commercial. Like the one where he's like, I'm such a bad guy. And then Aisha calls him, is like, go get that milk. But LeBron is kind of the Kia dude. And you're like, LeBron's got a, he's got a helicopter. Isn't that how he's going to take the Kobe route getting to games in L.A.? By the way, the lineups are in. Some interesting notes from the lineups tonight for the Cubs. Albert Almora is leading off playing center. Addison Russell batting second and playing shortstop. Russell hitting 294, three doubles, two home runs, 14 RBIs in the last nine games. He hit .329 in June. He has been a real factor offensively. Baez batting third, playing second. Rizzo batting fourth, playing first. Contreras behind the plate, batting fifth. Zobrist, who has been the unsung hero of this team, he's been great. Batting sixth, playing right field. David Bote, man, David Bote in 34 at-bats so far. When they have asked him to do the job, he does the job. .294, .395, .441. Ian Happ will bat eighth and play left field. Ian Happ's slash line in the last 14 games, .405, .537, .524. In the last 14 games, he's walked 12 times. He's got 51 total walks in 77 games this year. Last year, he had 44 total walks in 115. That shows you how much his plate discipline has gotten better. By the way, this segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you could save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Kyle Hendricks is going tonight. Kyle Hendricks needs a good performance. It can't be two innings. Can't go out there and give two innings. Hendricks, over his last three starts, 13 and two-thirds, 13 earned, an 8.56 ERA in those starts. They need the professor, the junior professor, to get back on his grind and get out there and get people out. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. It was fun. Delightful show tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do the same thing again from 6 until 8:40. Hopefully you'll be along for the ride. Thanks to Herbie. Thanks to Adam for their hard work. We appreciate that. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 right here on The Score. Cubs baseball is next.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.